We really are seeing through the looking glass, folks. Anyway, the reason I bring this up is a listener sent me this video on Republicanism. And we cleaned it up a little bit, but you got to hear this.
It's too stupid to believe. It's times like these that the Republican Party really relies on the doofus idiot base. That's right, the doofus idiot base, those millions of middle class and trailer park dupes that vote to f*** themselves over because they're scared, they're violent bigots, racists, and gullible superstitious morons. They vote Republican on the hope that more ragheads are going to get slaughtered and the f*** stay in the closet and the n*** stay in jail. Because all they're crying about small government and taxpayer dollars is pure b*****. Because you dipshits are about to socialize failure. The failure of p***-ass billionaires in your own stupid small government party. These same p***s that turn our public schools into shit boxes, f*** over veterans, and keep you idiots idiots, and own the Republican Party are about to get $750 billion of your taxpayer money, ass. Can you be any f***ing dumber? Between the $20 billion a month we spend on the war to nowhere that makes Halliburton and Cheney's friends rich and the near $1 trillion we're about to give to America's wealthiest domestic terrorists, can you imagine the health care and the schools we could have had? But no, that's socialism. These a*****s took the keys to the White House with billions in the bank and have turned this nation into a debtor financial failure. Their small government philosophy works like this. When they f*** up, you pay. When you f*** up, you pay. You fell for the gag. You think that Republicans are about small government, patriotism, mom, apple pie, and the regular guy? What a bunch of b***h! You've been bushified. That pillow-handed b*** from a rich Connecticut clan that made millions profiting on war starting with Adolf Hitler has made a fool out of you. He's no cowboy, he's no patriot, he's no veteran, and he's never worked a day in his life, and he's a symbol of what you believe in. By the way, where is he these days? Chained in the basement at the White House until the elections are over? Because he was, is, and always will be the worst president in our nation's history? If you aren't holding over $1 million in stocks and assets and you vote Republican, you're an idiot. And if you are worth over $1 million and you vote Republican, you're an idiot. Take your pick.
Hearing this, I had a Glenn Beck moment. It was like, this has come to me from God. God has summoned me to have Frank on the program. And Frank be done. Frank, welcome to the program.
That guy's got a potty mouth, Rick. I think you ought to have that kind of on your program, partner.
Yeah, absolutely. Here's the thing. At some point, somebody's got to tell it the way it is, Frank.
I remember that segment pretty well. Yeah, I was pretty much fed up, and it just kind of came naturally there. It's really more effective with all the beeps in there. I probably should have done that in the first place.
Yeah, it was pretty, and that's the, they wanted to silence it out. I said, no, you got to have the beeps because it shows some anger. And I look at what's going on today in what I'm calling Disneyland, on the, you know, the yellow brick road to the rabbit hole, there in D.C. with the Beck and Palin people having their little tea party.
Oh, I know. The, what is it? He's going to reclaim some kind of reclamation going on there.
Yeah, they're going to reclaim it.
The contempt I have for that, this whole charade is just, it just shakes me to my core. I can't believe they get away with this stuff. I don't know what the turnout is out there. Have you seen anything?
Well, the early reports I got from my, because I'm on all the Tea Party lists. They think I'm one of them. So they said about 100,000. So the Tea Party people think about 100,000. Fake news on Fox will probably say 10 million.
Yeah, that's about right. That's how that conversion rate runs there. The whole thing is such a fraud. I felt like, you know, when I listened back to what I had said about, at that time, of course, it was the Bush administration that was doing the TARP deal.
Right.
And I was really, still really hopeful that we were going to see some serious difference here when Barack Obama came in to town. And I'm not really familiar with your show, I have to admit. I haven't listened to you before today. I don't know where you stand on him and how things are playing out here, but I have really, really seriously been disappointed in how things have turned out with regard to this same issue. The way we're treating the aristocracy around here is just really sickening.
Yeah,
I'm very disappointed in our own party. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you. We're having a real problem with your phone line. Something's really, really staticky. But I hear what you're saying, because pretty much the same thing. When Obama took office, I really had hoped, my one hope for him is that he would save work in this country. That we would pass the Employee Free Choice Act. We would stop these companies from cutting our legs out from under us during this recession. The sad reality, in my view, Frank, is that this country's already too far down the road, on the road to fascism. The corporations own this country, and he can only do so much. They're only going to let him do so much.
I really, we're on the same page. But what I'm trying not to let die in my black little heart here, my little liberal black heart, is hope. And I don't know, but I just don't want to relinquish the a little tiny bit of hope that we can somehow turn this around. I don't know how. I don't know what the details are. But like you've said, it's clear to you now, and I think it's becoming clearer to so many people, that this two-party deal is a scam. Now, the Democrats at the base, people like you and me, I mean, I don't know if you're a registered Democrat. Doesn't really matter, but I'm sure you're not a Republican. We are out here. We have our desires. We sent this guy to do this job. We sent all of these Democrats into Congress to do a specific job that they haven't done. Their approval ratings suck because they've turned their back on the people that put them there.
Yep.
And if you go to Fox News, they turn that around and say, well, their approval rating sucks because they're communists. And it's a load of crap. It really is. If our elected representatives and Barack Obama had stood up like the Bush administration did, they didn't give a good gosh darn about what anybody thought. And they moved forward with their agenda. Had we have had that, I think we'd be in a whole different position right now. But like you said, the whole modus operandi is not to have that happen. The same pockets that pay out money to the Republicans are paying out money to the Democrats.
Yep.
And we all suffer in the interim.
I'm absolutely right on the same page. And the reality is look, as much as I wanted health care reform, I thought they did it wrong.
I did too.
I think
really?
The president, I think it was a failure of leadership to allow Congress in the open to make the sausage to see how legislation is made. I don't
exactly.
think we the
Rick,
citizens.
Come on. The guy they put in charge of this thing. What the hell's his name? I can't think of it now. But anyway, Baucus.
Oh.
Okay. He would not allow any discussion on single payer.
Yep.
Come on, man.
Yep.
What kind of deal is that? We all of us that have done any homework on this know that within the expansion of Medicare and those kinds of options, the money that could have been saved and the efficiency that could have been found, and I know people hate these right-wingers hate government because they say it's not efficient, but you cannot make the argument that the private health care system is efficient. Under no circumstances can you make that argument.
Or sustainable.
It's a lie.
Or sustainable. You can't make either one, and that there's competition in it. You can't make any of those arguments, which are the stalwarts of the right-wing arguments.
It's such a, I don't know how we got to this point, but the very guys that would have been part of a union, the laborers, the people that work for a living, are now rallying with Glenn Beck to screw their own selves over. I don't know how we got to this position, this contempt for government.
We've fallen down the rabbit hole, Frank.
I think we have. And how, you know, like you say, I mean, can we get out? Will we get out? What can we do?
Well, here's what
I mean, I'm trying to, you and I, we're all trying to explain this, to raise the consciousness, to get the message out there. Be proud to be progressive. Be proud to be liberal. Be proud to know that you're for the guys who are closer to the labor, the people that really do the work. You know, we're hurting out here. We're the people that can't get the medical care. We're the people that have to suffer with these crappy schools, and the Democrats are every bit as responsible for that as anybody. And the only refuge we have, we don't have billions of dollars. This Citizens United thing? Come on, man. How can you possibly justify that a multi-billion dollar, multinational corporation is the same as you, Rick, and the same as me? Utter contempt for the individual. Utter contempt for the public. It's sickening. And I don't know where the outrage is. I don't see it.
Well, where it's at is it's down there in the rabbit hole in Washington. Because they believe those activist judges who, you know, were for abortion, they should be thrown out. But those activist judges that gave us Citizen United, they're okay.
Yeah, see, that's how that works. That's the whole logic behind all of this. Everything that happens from the top down is okay, but if it comes from the bottom up, man, that's wrong. That's all. You can put that to rest right now.
Frank,
it's, I just, I really hope that we can turn this thing around. I don't know what's going to happen, Rick.
I'm right there with you. Can you stick around for a minute? I got to take a break here. You're listening to the Rick Smith Show. We're here with Frank from The Frank Factor. Go to therickssmithshow.com. Click on Frank's name. It'll take you right to The Frank Factor. We're right back after this with your calls. Stick around for The Frank Factor.
You could always speak your mind.
Your proud defender of the working class majority. Rick Smith. The phone lines are open. Call Rick at 1-877-960-0960.
The New York Times is saying tens of thousands of people are in D.C. today for the Becca-palooza. The Tea Party people have told me 100,000 people, and I'm waiting for the fake news on Fox report of 100 million people, a third of the population of the country that has converged onto the mall there. So, again, it depends on where you get your news. I've got Frank from the Frank Factor on the line. Frank, I appreciate you sticking around. You use the word doofus idiot base. The tens of thousands of people there who trekked to D.C. could be characterized in that. What do you think?
Well, I think that it's part of this this self-hating sort of voting against your own interest base. First of all, I don't know if you've seen any of the videos. You know, people go into the crowd and they talk to some of the people, and there's some good stuff out there where people, you know, report. They're uninformed, as you know, or they're ill-informed. They're complaining about the raising of taxes. Hey, Obama's raising our taxes. He's taking our guns. I mean, none of which is true. It's such a fear-based, baloney-based. I cleaned it up for show there.
Thank you.
Baloney-based information stream that they're working from. They go back to the trough. They get filled with this garbage from Glenn Beck and from that whole network, which is financially dependent upon keeping those very same people part of the idiot doofus base. Because if they become aware, if they begin to know that when you are up against Exxon, BP, the biggest, hugest, most wealthy and powerful corporations in the world, you haven't got a chance except through government. And this is the message I'm trying to get people. We got to overcome this anti-government thing.
Yep.
The government is supposed to be of, by, for the people. Now, qualifying Exxon as a person is obscene, as far as I'm concerned.
I'm right there with you, Frank.
It doesn't make any sense.
You know what's interesting to me is you get these people who are stepping off the bus, and every one of them, they're going, get the government out of my life! But on the other side of their mouth...
Get your government hands off my Social Security. Get your government hands off my Medicare.
Right. Out of the other side of their mouth, they're saying...
That's the doofus part.
But out of the other side of their mouth, they're saying the government's not doing enough to create jobs.
It's the thing. We're blame, detraction, negativity, and this program of hatred and just turning away and choking and making it small and killing it and just, you know, turning your back on it is so deeply rooted. It's a very, very successful a strategy, like you said, to make us go down the rabbit hole.
This frees up
the top.
Yep.
The top can do whatever they want. What is our redress to whatever happens up from the top down? If we're going to disassociate ourselves from our government, what are we supposed to do?
Or they'll do as Gordon Norquist said to do.
I don't want to abolish government. I simply want to reduce it to the size where I could drag it into the bathroom and drown it in the bathtub.
Yeah, see, that kind of thinking. And, you know, as with so many of the things that come from the right, there is a kernel, a small, minute portion of truth. But that truth comes in both the private and the public sector. Is there waste? Of course.
Absolutely.
Is there inefficiency? Of course. But is there waste and inefficiency in the private sector? Is there collusion? Is there corruption in the private sector? Please. But what is our redress in the private sector if you're not a shareholder? None. But what is your redress if you're in the public sector? You can vote. You can become active in the various avenues of public participation that allow you to become represented.
Yep.
And this is the poison to the top. They don't want you to know that. They don't want you to get there. because it means they have to play fair, and they can't have that.
Well, they don't want us. They don't want us coming together. They want us. They want to keep us sliced and diced and divided. Let's take a quick call. I got Mike on line one. How are we doing today, Mike?
Hello, gentlemen. Hey, I love Frank. It's great stuff. But do you guys get the fact that both sides are being manipulated?
Yes.
That there is a power here that's using Democrat, Republican, conservative, liberal, and manipulating them to fight each other. And I'll give you a real good example because it's so crystal clear. If you go to the Constitution of the United States, do you know what the court of first jurisdiction is between a disagreement between a state and the federal government?
Tell us.
It's the U.S. Supreme Court. So all these cases that all these attorney generals are filing about health care, they're BS. That gets resolved in front of the Supreme Court, and they have to hear it. It's mandatory. Same thing is true in Arizona over their immigration law. Goes directly in front of the Supreme Court by the rules in the Constitution. And why aren't both sides knowing that? They do know that, but they're not going that route. No, they're going the way that they can keep rallying their forces, turning up the hysteria. This whole thing should have been over in a day or two. The Supreme Court is obligated to hear those cases.
But correct me if I'm wrong here, Mike, and maybe I am, but don't you have to first go through the state levels, much like we did with Bush v. Gore?
No. There's no requirement. Read the Constitution. All arguments between the states and the federal government.
I could say to Mike, I can't speak to the process. I'm embarrassed to say, and I don't really know exactly how to do that, but I do agree with, in part, with this playing both sides, you know, against each other. But by the same token, you know, during the election of Barack Obama, there was this movement to try to get people to disengage from the system by claiming that both parties were the same and that your vote doesn't count. I can't support that. I don't ever want to encourage anybody to believe that. Now, it's true to a point. But as our only chance, it's really the only thing that all of us, without making a special effort, can take part in. But, yeah, I mean, the Democratic Party at the top is not representing the Democratic base. I think the Republican Party at the top does represent more on social issues and certain other issues what the Republican base wants. The people that are getting screwed here are liberals and progressives with real liberal and progressive values at the bottom that can't make it through the maze to get to the top. Now, we have Al Franken. We have a couple guys in there that are great.
Bernie Sanders.
But it's not. Yeah, exactly. But we have to work against the blue dogs and this kind of a built-in safety system that prevents a Democratic majority. It's just really very frustrating.
I hear you, Frank. And I want to tell you, too, we have a guy running for the Senate here, Joe Sustin. And I love Joe, you know. But I got to tell you, I went to a meeting with Joe, and I made a modest proposal. I said, you know what? I said, every veteran in this country that's got an ED-214 ought to be getting free health insurance because we were promised it. I was when I enlisted in service during the Vietnam War. And his response was, well, that would cost too much money. Excuse me?
That would what?
Excuse me? That it would cost too much money to give veterans free health care. They need...
Well, Mike, see, everybody says everything is too much money.
Right.
Everything is too much money until it's what the guys who are in control decide that we have the money for. I mean,
that's
I can't
right.
listen to this argument about we don't have the money. We can find the money for everything under the sun that has to do with helping people that need it the least. And the people that need it the most, well, we can find an excuse all day long. We can't afford it. This is unfunded. Blah, blah, blah. It's going to raise your taxes.
No,
who was
no,
crying about that when this war got started?
I was stunned.
You know?
When he told me this. Because here's a guy who was a Navy admiral. Career military guy who says, well, that costs too much money. And we're trying to get national health care. Well, I can give you a big chunk of national health care tomorrow if you turn around and order the VA that the only requirement that you need to get health care is a DD-214 and an honorable discharge.
Well, here's the thing, Mike. Here's the thing. next weekend when Congressman Sestak is back here on the program, yep. We will bring this up and we will talk to Joe Sestak and let him lay out what his rationale was.
Right.
Because I've had him on the program, and as I remember, he was for a public option. He was for, I'm not sure if he was for a single payer, but we will ask him that. I'm not sure if he was, and I don't think he was, but he was for the public option. All right, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, I'd really like to know, because to me, that's a no-brainer.
Well, for me, it's a no-brainer that every person in this country should have health care and that we shouldn't divide ourselves between the two.
Right.
For me, that's the another divisive thing. I think everybody should have it.
Right.
So that's what we can agree.
It's not too much to ask.
Thanks so much, Mike. I appreciate it.
All right. Hey, thanks, Mike.
But again, you know, going back to this, Frank, another one of those, as he brought up, and I think we can all agree, it's another one of those divisive things that separate us. And I'm saying what we need to do is find the common ground that's going to bring us and the working class back together. Because, you know, I see it all the time. You're union, you're non-union, you're skilled, non-skilled, you're white-collar, blue-collar, you know, right down the, you know, black, white, you know, male, female. They've divided us, sliced and diced us up so that we're at each other's throats while they reap the profits and extract every penny they can get out of our wallet. You hear these tea twizzlers saying, well, I don't want redistribution of wealth. Well, hey, dimwit, they've already redistributed the wealth from you to them. Simple stuff.
Precisely. Exactly.
Simple stuff. Again,
for some reason it can always flow upwards, but it can't come down.
Yeah,
it can't rain on us.
And you know what? They talk about trickle down, and I've never seen it trickle up like it does in their economic models. Never in the laws of physics.
Oh, that's a torrent. It's a torrent straight up to the top.
Anyway, real quick, the Frank Factor, where can people find your videos? Because I think they're brilliant, and I'd love to have you back again at some point in the future. Where can we find more of your videos?
Well, I'd love to talk to you some more, Rick. The Frank Factor is thefrankfactor.com, and there are links to the other to the YouTube videos and so forth there. We're pretty active on Facebook, and you can get a link to that as well from thefrankfactor.com. And I just look forward to talking to people. I love, you know, networking with people and just shooting it and spreading the word. Yeah. And I appreciate this opportunity, Rick.
It was great talking to you, Frank. I hope to talk to you again real soon. Thanks so much, buddy. We're going to take a quick break. We're right back after this with your calls. 1-877-960-0960. We're right back.